Back into the teaching on indwelling life. So this is session 9, your transformed spirit in the class indwelling life. And so if you have your Bibles, I'm going to encourage you to go ahead and open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And we read this last Sunday. We're going to read it again this Sunday. We're going to add to it some. But 2 Corinthians 5, 17, I'm going to read it out of the King James Version just because I think it says it better, in my opinion. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, that Paul is writing here, and it makes an incredible statement that I believe that if you've been raised in the church, been raised in Christianity, it's lost some of its incredible value because of familiarity. It's just posted on coffee cups and memes and cards and all that kind of stuff, and you just know it. But it's a powerful scripture verse. And Paul's saying, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's talking about those who are born of the Spirit. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creation. You are, if you're born of the Spirit, an entirely new creation. You are not like those who are not born of the Spirit. And we'll look at this in a minute. Old things have passed away. New things have come. Now I'm going to read also Ezekiel 36, 26 through 27. And Ezekiel's saying in this passage that, and we looked at this again last Sunday, moreover, I will give you a new heart. This is not something that is going to be fulfilled in the millennial kingdom. This took place in the new covenant. He's talking about the new covenant that Jesus finished for us on the cross. I will give you a new heart. If you've been born of the Spirit, God has given you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. You have a new spirit. If you are born again, the spirit you were born with is not the spirit you were born again with. Yes, it's the same spirit, but it's been resurrected. It's been regenerated. Your spirit is now new, alive from the dead. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh. God will give us a tender heart, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, the indwelling Holy Spirit. Your human spirit and the Holy Spirit are one. God the Holy Spirit, this is not a force, an it. God himself, the person of the Holy Spirit, a person is grafted to your human spirit. A real person is one with your human spirit, joined to your human spirit. Glued to, grafted, joined, fastened to your human spirit. You are a fundamentally new creation. And I will cause you to walk in my statutes. That's really the grace of God, the empowering, enabling grace of God. See, under the old covenant was you must, you shall, you must, you shall, you must, you shall. In the new covenant, God says, I will, I will, I will. That does not dissolve our responsibility by any means. What it means is that before God gives us the requirement to obey his commandments, he does 6 things inside of us so that we can obey. And then finally, he says, you will be careful to observe my ordinances. In other words, the Lord's saying, I will, I will, I will, I will. The law says you must, you must, you must, you must. Now, when we have the Spirit of the living God inside of us, like Paul said in Romans 8:4, that we will keep the requirements of the law, but it will not be by our own strength. It will not be by our own doing. It will not be by our own power. It will be by the Spirit who gives power to you. All right, so that's kind of what we saw in the last session. We saw that your spirit has been regenerated. Your spirit has been born again. Your spirit is new. Your spirit is now alive from the dead. if you're born again. You have already experienced a resurrection when you were born again. Your dead spirit that was alienated from God has been raised from the dead. And your spirit is a partaker of the divine nature. That does not make you a god, but it does make you godly. You have everything has been granted to you for life and godliness. You are a partaker of the divine nature. Did you wake up today and think, I am a partaker of the divine nature? I bet you didn't. I bet you were thinking, it's cold and rainy. Do I want to come to church? And then you got my email of, what was that, Home Alone, and it moved you to come. So anyway, I won't go there. But you are a partaker of the divine nature. You are a partaker of the divine nature. Now I want us to start in this session. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. And we're going to read just a little bit here. I want you to really, really see this in the Word. Isn't this good news? This is good news. This is like such good news. I'm serious. The world around us is going haywire. This is good news. Okay? This is good news. So Paul is writing in Ephesians, and he's really talking about, if you really study the whole book of Ephesians, it's centered upon God's eternal purpose, God's ultimate intention. And so Paul's saying this to the Ephesian church, to the Ephesian believers. He says, "So this I say, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk." Now catch this. Christians who have the indwelling spirit, who have God inside of them, who have a new spirit, a righteous spirit, a holy spirit, who has been regenerated and alive from the dead, you can still live just like an unbeliever. That's what Paul's saying this. And he's saying to them, don't do that. Why on earth would you live like the world? Why would on earth would you live from those of the old creation when you have God living on the inside of you? That's really the burden. He's saying, this I'm saying together with the Lord, don't walk like the unsaved. How do they walk? How can you also walk if you aren't led by the Spirit? Paul says, in the futility of their mind. What does that mean? What is that saying? It's saying they're soulish. They're led by the soul. Their soul is leading. See, those who don't have Christ in them have no other option but to live by the soul. The soul leading, the mind leading, the logical mind leading, the emotions leading, the will leading, what I want, when I want it, how I want it done. They have no choice but that because they don't have Christ in them. But he's saying to the Ephesians, but you, and to us, you have Christ. You have Christ in you so that you don't have to be led by the rational mind, the logical mind that says, by analytics and by deduction, if I do this, I'll do this, and that I'm going to live that way. Now, that does not mean we need to throw our minds out. Obviously, the mind is essential, but the mind makes an absolutely terrible leader. If you haven't learned that yet, just get that into your mind. Your mind is a terrible leader. If you haven't learned that yet, get that into your head. Your mind makes a terrible leader. You will never come to know God through your rational mind. Your emotions make a terrible leader. How many of you realize that? The way you feel makes a terrible leader. Now, the emotions are important. They're meant to serve the Spirit. The mind is important. It's meant to serve the Spirit. But if it's leading you, then that's the problem. That's what Paul is dealing with here in Ephesians. Your mind is a terrible leader. Your emotions are a terrible leader. Your will is a terrible leader. Don't be soulish. Don't be led by the soul. Notice what it does. In verse 18, it being darkened in their understanding. When you're led by the soul, and when your soul is leading, You are darkened in your understanding. You cannot understand the things of God. It's foolishness to you. Like Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, those who are led by the Spirit, those who are soulish, the things of the Spirit of God are foolishness to them. Even for Christians can be soulish, and the things of God, they're darkened in their understanding. I mean, I'm just amazed to me, like, just talking to some believers, and you're just like, what Bible are you reading? I mean, it's like, what are you, well, they're not actually reading the Bible, that's the problem. But, I mean, what are you thinking? Some of the ideas that you have, I'm like, where are you getting this stuff? They're darkened in their understanding, and listen, they're excluded. See, this can also describe believers. Paul says at the very beginning, they're excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. What Paul is saying to us as believers is that even though Jesus Christ lives inside of you, if you're born of the Spirit, even though the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is now one with your human spirit, the power that raised him from the dead, the power that raised him up into heaven, the power that seated him at the right hand of God, the power that gave him the name above all names, the power that gave him, made him head of the church, that surpassing greatness of God's power that is beyond all that you can ask, think, or imagine, that power at work, that power is in you. But if you live from the soul, that you are excluded from living by that life because your soul, your flesh, is suppressing the life of God in you. And Paul is saying, don't be that way. Don't be that way. When you live like that, when you live from the soul, when you live from the mind, when you live from the emotions, when you live from the will, when you live from the cravings of the flesh, your heart, even as a born-again Christian, even as one in the new covenant where God says, I'm going to give you a new heart, I'm going to give you a tender heart, I'm going to remove the heart of stone out of you. Even as a Christian, Paul's warning us that your heart can grow hard. That's why in Hebrews it says, see to it, brethren, that you do not fall away from the living God with an evil heart of unbelief. Your heart, even as a born-again Christian, can grow hard. And Paul's saying, don't do that. Verse 19. So what happens is they become callous. They become hardened. And when you become hardened, when your heart becomes hard, you give yourself over to sensuality. You give yourself over to whatever the five senses of the flesh, of the body want. What you see, what you hear, what you taste, what you hear, what you smell, what you feel, what you touch. That sensual desire begins to rule you, and then you practice every kind of impurity with greediness. Even as a Christian, you can do that. That's what Paul's saying. And he's trying to get the Ephesians, and he's saying, but you did not learn Christ in this way. You did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you've heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus. Now, verse 22, that in reference to your former manner of life, living by the soul, living by the flesh, listen to what Paul says, lay aside the old self. In your you, there is a new self in you, and there is an old self in you. The problem is, most Christians live by that old self, the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions, the body, what it craves and what it wants, and not from the new self. And what I've found, if we really, really want to live from this new self, we've got to see from Scripture what the new self actually is, because most of us don't understand what is actually the new self. But when we understand what the new self is, your eyes are opened. And I'm going to stress what really the theme of this message. Your eyes are open. You're like, I had no idea that God had done this. I have been living in spiritual poverty for 30 years of my life, not knowing what Jesus Christ did when I was born of the Spirit. I've been living, the only way I knew how to live was out of this mind of how I thought, of my emotions, how I felt, my will, what I wanted, my five senses, the cravings of the body. I didn't know how to live differently because I didn't know God had fundamentally done something in my born-again experience that changed me to the very core of my being. And Paul says now in verse 23, that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The way to get out of the old self and the new self is renewing the mind. We're going to have an entire session about renewing the mind. Renewing the mind by meditation, very, very vital. One of the keys, one of the most important keys of learning to live by the Spirit of God. Those who set their mind on the Spirit will live by the Spirit. Those who set their mind on the flesh will live from the flesh. And so Paul is saying, renew your mind to transition from the flesh, the old self, the old man, to the new self. You've got to renew your mind. We'll get into that in an entire different session. Now, this is where we're going to focus on in this session, this teaching tonight, today, is verse 24. Put on the new self. See, you can't put it on if you don't have it. I can't put this shirt on if it's not already in my closet. I can't put these pants on if they're not in my closet. I can put them on because I already have it. See, you can put on the new self because you already have it. This is already true about you. Listen to what it says. This is amazing. Let it just penetrate into your heart. Which in the likeness of God. And we're going to get into this in a minute. But do you realize your new self has already been created in the likeness of God? We're going to get into that in a minute deep, but incredible. What is the new self? It is exactly what Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 36, your new spirit. Your spirit has already been created. I want you to focus on that. Has been created. Has been created. This is the finished work of the Spirit in your human spirit. A lot of believers know about the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. His blood paid for our forgiveness, the atonement, all that that means. We'll have a session on that as well. But we don't know what the Spirit has completed and has finished in your human spirit. So read that again. Your new self has been created. There's already this part of you called your human spirit that has been created in the likeness of God. Already. Already. It has not only been created in the likeness of God, it's been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Basically, your new self, we're going to unpack this. Your new self is righteous and holy. Your new self has been conformed already into the image of Jesus Christ. And your new self, the work has been completed. See, what I found is we need to get back to the Word of God and what the Word of God says about you. See, we're so focused on what's wrong with me, what's wrong with me, what's wrong with me. Every one of us know what's wrong with us. And if you don't, get married or have kids and they'll tell you exactly everything that's wrong with you. And if that's still struggling, become a pastor and they'll really tell you everything that's wrong with you. So every one of us know, okay, this is wrong with me, this is wrong with me, this is wrong with me. But focusing on what's right about you because of Christ, because of who Christ is in you, power, glory, guidance, because of how the Holy Spirit has already transformed your spirit and made your spirit new and righteous and alive and holy and complete and Christ-like. That we are to look in the mirror through the Word of God, and we are to love what we see. So as you get older, you know, as you, it seems like for, when you cross about 40, looking in the mirror is not nearly as fun as it used to be. I mean, it's like everything, never, I'm not saying it was ever really fun, but that's weird. That's, to borrow Anna's word, cringy. But that is a little cringy. But anyway, I won't go there. But as you get older, everything is more and more exposed, and you're like, okay, I got to get ready, but I don't really feel like looking at myself. But looking in the mirror of God's Word is something you can look at and go, wow, I'm actually really beautiful. God has done an incredible work. See, God's Word does not lie. I believe the number one, I believe so many Christians are living being overcome by the world, the flesh, and the devil, because they don't see themselves in the spiritual mirror of God's Word. Now, there is places in the Word that will reveal your flaws, for sure, very much, but that's revealing the flaws of your flesh, and it's very not appealing. But there's a part of you, if we're spirit, soul, body, there's one third of you that you can look into the spiritual mirror of God's Word and love what you see, and that is absolutely Christ-exalting, and it is the key to transformation. I'm telling you, this is the key to transformation. It's for you to look in the mirror of God's Word and to love what you see. So if you look in the mirror of God's Word, if you look in the physical mirror and you don't like what you see, you can look in the mirror of God's Word and you can see yourself the way God sees you. And that's what we're going to do today. That's what we're going to unpack here. I believe that so many Christians, the battles they have been engaged in for years, decades, battles with lust, battles with anger, battles with resentment, battles with cynicism, criticism, judgment, rejection, anxiety, whatever, jealousy, whatever it is. So much of that is because we're not looking at the spiritual mirror of what God's Word says about us. And so we don't have the traction to go forward. I know that. See, what is it that you struggle with? What is it that you have been battling for years and years and years? It's probably because you're looking at the wrong mirror. Because what I found, 2 Corinthians 3 says that when you behold the Lord as in a mirror, you are transformed from glory to glory by the Spirit. Beholding is becoming. If you want to experience transformation, beholding is becoming. Look in the mirror of God's Word and you will be transformed. I promise you, you will be transformed. Now, I've seen it in my own life. So let's look at these four realities right now of your spirit. Paul said, the first one, your spirit is righteous and holy. One third of you, just catch this. If you're born of the Spirit, one third of you is just as righteous and holy as Jesus Christ. One third of you has already been transformed and is just as righteous, just as holy as Jesus Christ, if you're born again. Now, if you're not born again, if you're not born of the Spirit, that's not true about you, but it is true about you if you've been born again. Now, notice what Paul says in Ephesians 4:24. He says that the phrase I was emphasizing, has been created. That word has been created means to make habitable or to be a habitation. It means to God created your spirit to be his habitation. If a holy and righteous God recreated your spirit to be his habitation, do you think he would create your human, recreate your human spirit in unrighteousness and unholiness? No, he could not dwell there. God could not dwell in your human spirit if your human spirit was not recreated righteous and holy. He couldn't. He cannot dwell with sin. He cannot. Just read scriptures. God the Holy Spirit cannot dwell in sin. Therefore, your spirit that was dark and cold towards Christ has been created as his habitation in righteousness and holiness. Just like Jesus. It's stunning. This is straight from the Word. This is straight from the Bible, okay? I'm not making this up. You go back and pray about it and look at this scripture verse. One third of you is already like Christ, righteous, holy. Well, you don't know my struggle with sin. I probably have a similar struggle or have had a similar struggle. That's your flesh. Now, yes, we need to overcome our flesh. But the key to overcoming our flesh is realizing one third of me is already complete. You will never get victory long term over the flesh without realizing and coming into agreement day by day that one third of you is already righteous. One third of you is already holy. Incredible, isn't it? Romans 8:10. If Christ is in you, your spirit is alive because of righteousness. When the Spirit who raised Jesus Christ from the dead saved you, regenerated you, refashioned your spirit, Christ, as you became a partaker of his divine nature and he was grafted into your spirit, he infused his righteousness completely and entirely into your spirit. He imparted his righteousness to your human spirit. This is not something that is positional. Now, there is a positional righteousness we'll look at. This is actual. As he is, so also are we in this world. Not we will be, we are. It's incredible. Your body is dead because of sin. Your soul is selfish. But your spirit is righteous. And the key to victory, the key to getting traction in the spiritual life is realizing this verse. My spirit has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. That's why Paul, 39 times in his epistles, told the church, you're a saint, to the saints, to the saints, to the saints. You are not a struggling sinner saved by grace. You are a saint, a holy one who occasionally sins. Now, some people, it's not occasionally sins. Some people, it's Ephesians 4, you're living in a pattern of sin. But you're a saint. You're a holy one. Your spirit has been transformed, completely transformed, if you're born again. Next thing we're going to look at is your spirit is Christ-like. We just saw that a minute ago, but put on the new self, which in the likeness of God, I'm going to say in the likeness of Christ, because we know God's ultimate intention is to conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. Before one act of creation, God's eternal plan and purpose was to conform you into the image of Jesus Christ, his Son. Before he created the angels and the seraphim, before he created Adam and Eve in this world, God had a plan that you would be conformed into the image of his Son. Do you realize this? You're one-third of the way already there. See, a lot of us are going, okay, God, conform me into the image of Christ. Conform me into the image of Christ. And yes, yes, we need to be conformed to the image of Christ in our heart and our soul and our body. But I believe God would first say, I have done it in your spirit. And that if we came into agreement with that and said, thank you, Lord, that you in your eternal plan and purpose in me, one-third of that work is already finished, is already complete. Lord, you have already conformed me into the image of your Son in my spirit. That would change you. It's changed me. It will absolutely transform you. And it makes conformity into the image of his Son way easier in your heart, soul, and body. So you go back to the garden. Let us make man in our image. And you see God's eternal purpose, God's ultimate intention. And we know what happened when Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit and self. It talks about you. Satan said, you will be as God, self-God, self-deification. The self-life was awakened. And we know all that that means and all that transpired. We know that more and more and more humanity became more and more conformed to the image of Satan, proud, rebellious, lawless, independent. But yet God was not done with his eternal plan and purpose. We can even read about it in Romans chapter 8, where God said in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, that I will conform you, I'm paraphrasing, but I will conform you into the image of Christ. And when you were born again, your spirit was conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. See, we need confidence. We need confidence to know we're not, okay, we might struggle with sin. We might struggle with some sin pattern. Lust, rebellion, jealousy, anger, selfishness, whatever it is, bitterness, resentment, whatever. I don't know what it is you're struggling with. We might struggle with you might just say, I struggle with every one of those. And that might be the case. But here's the thing. Is your spirit has been conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Let's look at 1 John 4, verse 17. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. If you learn to live by the love of God and by the indwelling life of Jesus Christ, you can have confidence in the day of judgment. Now notice this. Because as he is, so also will we be in this world. It doesn't say that, does it? So also are we in this world? As he is, so also are you in your spirit. Wow. I've been living decades of my life trying to become like Christ, not realizing in my spirit I'm already like him. That's kind of like the definition of insanity, isn't it? Now, again, You understand, I'm not dealing here on this message with your heart, your soul, your body. Those obviously were unaffected by the new birth, the second birth. So the work of God in your soul, in your heart, in your body needs to be transformed. So I'm not dealing with that in this message. I'm getting your focus on your human spirit and what God did in your human spirit. Because if you will start from this place and your prayers for holiness and sanctification and overcoming and being all that God wants you to be, you will begin to make progress. If you don't start from this place, you will begin to spin your wheels to nowhere, and you will be, like I mentioned in the last message, the stuck road, spinning your wheels, going nowhere. Start by thinking and think every time when you just get in prayer, just make it a habit to go, Lord, thank you that you have already conformed me in my spirit into the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ. And just think about that for a minute. Like, wow. You have already made my spirit righteous. You've already made my spirit holy. See, the righteousness that God imparts to us will never, ever be improved upon. I just want you to think about this. If God, I'm talking about, and again, I'm talking about your human spirit right now. So just know I'm not talking about your soul or your flesh. In your human spirit, the righteousness that Christ imparted to your human spirit will be the righteousness, the same righteousness that it'll be like when you stand before the throne of God that you have right now. He didn't impart just a little bit of righteousness to you and leave the rest. He imparted his righteousness to your human spirit. He created you in righteousness and holiness of the truth. The righteousness he imparted to your human spirit can never be improved, enhanced. It's not more righteous than Jesus himself, or it's not less righteous than Jesus himself. of his righteousness was imparted to your human spirit when you were born again. 100%. When you stand before the throne of God millions of years from now, your spirit will be just as righteous as it is right now. That's the work he did. Though your body is dead because of sin, your spirit is alive because of the impartation of his righteousness. See, we're waiting to experience God when we get to heaven. And God's like, if you would just only understand what I have already done and live from that, you would be changed. He created you in righteousness. He created you in holiness. That work has been completed. That's pretty incredible. If there's not something rising up within you that's like, is that really true? Then you're probably not listening. Because that's the way I was when I first heard this. I was like, okay, am I really reading this right out of Scripture? Okay, is this really what the Word is saying? I mean, I obviously believe it is because I'm preaching it. But for some time, my religious mind just protested. Surely that can't be true about me. As he is, so also am I in this world. His righteousness in me can't be improved or enhanced. That his righteousness is just like Jesus in my spirit. And you know, just if you've been raised in the church, you know, and I don't mean this church, but just with the church background, I mean more the global church, you get this mentality of, you know, I'm this man of flesh, and you are. I have this wickedness and selfishness, and you do. There's sin in your body, and there is, but we forget that in our spirit, the righteousness that was transmitted to your human spirit when you were born of the Spirit is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. As he is, so also are you. Amazing. Raise your hand if you feel different right now just hearing this. Okay. You can live every single day like this if you will get the Word of God into your vocabulary, into your prayer life. You don't have to depend on a message to hear this. If you will learn to see what's really happening right now is I've brought you into a place of meditation. Okay? I brought you into a place of renewing your mind where faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. What's happening is, what's happening on the inside of you right now is your faith is being activated by the Word of God. Your faith is being energized by the Word of God. And then what's happening is you're beginning to believe what the Word of God says about you, and the Spirit now then can make that real in your experience so that you're beginning to experience his life in your heart and in your soul and in your body. See, faith is being energized. Faith is being awakened. Philemon 1:6 is to acknowledge every good thing in you because of Christ, that your faith may become operative. What's happening right now when you feel you're feeling different than when you came in is because you're hearing the truth about the Word of God says about you, and faith is rising up and you're beginning to realize, oh wow, this is true about me. My point is this, you can live this way every single day. When you go into prayer and you begin to pray this message in your prayer life. Thank you, and I have a prayer at the end. Thank you, Lord, that you have regenerated my spirit. I do this almost every day because I've noticed it changes me. It transforms me. That my spirit is righteous. My spirit is holy. My spirit is Christ-like. And then it causes me to have that traction to then see the sanctification process in my heart and my soul and my mind and my emotions, because it's so much easier when I start from that place God's already finished. The third thing, not only is your spirit righteous and holy, not only is your spirit Christ-like, but your spirit is complete. Meaning the work of God in your spirit is finished. Amen. Amen. Let's look at Hebrews 12:23. So when you begin to believe what the Word says about you already, and you get out of unbelief into faith, not in what God will do, but in what Christ has already done and what the Spirit has already finished, and you begin to live in faith in the finished work of the cross and the finished work of the Spirit, you will be transformed. Hebrews 12:23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all. Now notice this. And to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. Now, there's some debate, okay, is he talking about the spirits of the righteous in heaven or the spirits of the righteous on earth? Either way, Ephesians 4:24 already tells us that very same thing has already happened. So whether they are in heaven, whether they're on the earth, it doesn't really matter. God's word has already said, it's been done. So I'm describing to you what is already true about you right now. The spirits of the righteous made perfect. Now, this Greek word, if you get into the Greek, this Greek word does not mean absolute perfection in the sense of, like, you know, it's more of a word that means complete. It means like carrying a task to completion. So the goal has been brought to completion. The work has been brought to completion. Some people get so hung up on perfection, but it's more about your spirit is complete. The work in your spirit is finished. See, when you pray for sanctification, when you pray for holiness, God's not going to do it in your spirit because he's already done it. So he's going to focus on your heart and your soul and your body. But he's going to do it from this place in your spirit that has already been finished, that's already been complete. See, most of the church knows when Jesus said, "It is finished," and what he finished for us on the cross. Much less in the church know what the indwelling spirit has also finished when he transformed our human spirit. The spirits of the righteous made complete. You are already complete in him, in your spirit. And if you will live from that place in you, that one-third place in you that is righteous, that is holy, that is complete, that is Christ-like, you will begin to live as one who overcomes the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now let's look at Hebrews 10, verse 14. Hebrews 10, 14. For by one offering, he has perfected or completed. It's the same Greek word. I'm going to use the word completed. For by one offering, he has completed for all time those who are sanctified or those who are being sanctified. I used to wonder, okay, how can that be? Okay, that doesn't even make sense. He's perfected for all time. He's perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Does that mean that he's saying that I see you as the work is already done and that even though you're being sanctified, that work is being completed? So I was thinking, okay, maybe that's what it means. But then when I saw this Greek word perfected is the same Greek word used in Hebrews 12, 23, describing what he had done in our spirit, I realized, oh, this is what Hebrews 10, 14 is saying, is that by one offering he has completed in your spirit for all time. The work is finished. Those who are being sanctified in their heart, in their soul, and in their body. You see that? So we have this tension, and I think one of the on one side of the ditch is hyper grace, and I'm going to talk about that in a second. Taking the grace of God to an unbiblical extreme, exaggerating what the word says to fit a biblical narrative or biblical theology or doctrine. But I think on the other ditch is legalism, not realizing what God has already done and realizing more, you know, not more needs to be done in your spirit. So it's this tension between the already but the not yet. The already, your spirit, the work in your spirit, complete. For all time, the righteousness he imparted is the righteousness of Jesus to you. The holiness he imparted is the holiness of Jesus to you. God could not dwell in your human spirit if your spirit was not righteous as him. Think about that. A holy and righteous God could not possibly dwell in your human spirit if your human spirit was not made to be his habitation in holiness and righteousness, because he cannot dwell in sin and unholiness. Your spirit has been completed for all time. even though your soul and your heart and your body are in that process of being sanctified. So we have a tension here. And we must live in that tension, not going one extreme to the other extreme, the tension of already complete, yet being sanctified. See, I believe that, you know, if you've heard of the teaching hyper grace, that it's really, really becoming popular now, where teachers are taking the grace of God and they're taking it to an unbiblical extreme, and they're saying things such as, you don't need to confess your sins because the blood of Jesus Christ has already paid for your forgiveness once and for all. Therefore, if you confess your sins, you're actually insulting God. That's a huge teaching right now, that we don't need to live, that we don't need to, anything Jesus spoke before his resurrection was Old Testament law for the Jews and doesn't apply to us in the New Covenant. Therefore, we don't need to take up our cross, live the Sermon on the Mount. Yeah, I mean, some of your eyes, you've never heard of that. I guess I can see some of your reactions. Prominent pastors. It is widespread in the body of Christ today, that hyper grace teaching that basically says, takes this scripture, you're perfected for all time, meaning that you are just like Christ, you just need to renew your mind. Now, I mean, raise your hand if you've heard some of that teaching. Okay, yeah. When I first heard that, I was shocked. And these are prominent people, people on TV, people that are famous, that are teaching these things. That when I first heard that, I was like, that is just horrible. How could you possibly teach this stuff? And so I just want to say that what I'm saying is not hyper grace, okay? It's not hyper grace. I believe one of the biggest problems, there's about 15, but one of the biggest problems of hyper grace, one of the biggest problems of hyper grace is not understanding this tension that exists in the believer between that which is already complete in your spirit and that which is still in the process of being complete in your soul, in your heart, in your body, in your what is called the flesh. So we live in this tension. But my point is to say, this is what I'm saying is not hyper grace. It is not to be confused with hyper grace. It is absolutely, I believe, what the scriptures are teaching. This is the true grace of God. When I first started reading this, or when I first started, this is probably 10 years ago, when I first started coming, I mentioned that conversation with the guy Dan I mentioned in the last session. When he first started sharing some of this stuff, I was like, there's no way this is true. No way. You know, I started thinking about different scriptures or whatever, but for every argument, he had a rebuttal that I couldn't defend. And so I started researching. It's like, Not everything he said was true, but a lot of what he said was true. And I was sitting there going, this is, you know, I had no idea. My religious mind protested this. And he made that argument. How could a holy and righteous God dwell inside of you if he has not made you holy and righteous in your spirit? I was like, I don't have an answer. You're right. He couldn't. He can't dwell with sin. And I started reading this stuff and I was like, oh my goodness. I have been living in spiritual poverty for all of these years, trying to become what God has already done. Now again, in this message, I'm not stressing the need for ongoing sanctification. If you've been a believer for a while, know that is very, very vital. The bride will not make herself ready apart from that ongoing sanctification of heart, soul, and body. But my point is, when you come into agreement, into alignment with what God has already done, it gives you the traction to go forward. That you don't have to keep going around the same mountain over and over and over. In the notes, page 9, I'm going to read this. I want to encourage you to make this, just for a while, to begin to pray this and to speak it out loud. See, a lot of this, faith comes by hearing. You can't just think it. It won't do anything to you. You got to speak it. You got to sing it. You got to voice it. You got to write it. But you got to declare it. You can't just think it. If you just think it, it won't do a lot of good. You got to voice it. You got to get it out of. Faith comes by hearing. The word of faith is in our mouth. We got to speak it. But I want to encourage you to pray this prayer, to declare it in the presence of God. I'm going to read it here. My spirit has been regenerated and resurrected. My new spirit has been recreated in righteousness and refashioned in holiness. My new spirit is as righteous now as it will be in 1 million years. That might be a hard one for you to voice. Say it anyway. My spirit is just as righteous now as it will be in 1 million years. Otherwise, Jesus couldn't dwell in your spirit. My spirit has already been conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Lord, conform me into the image of Christ. I've already done it in your spirit. Start there. The perfectly righteous God has recreated my spirit in perfect righteousness. The Lord has made my spirit the habitation of his spirit. 1/3 of my being is now righteous, holy, Christ-like, and complete. Make this. Can I just say one thing? Okay, we're going into the new year where everyone gets a new habit, you know, and they break it after 10 days. You know, we're going to eat better. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to do better with money or whatever. Can I get you to please make this part of your habit to confess this type of prayer with script and the scriptures that go along with this on a regular basis, hopefully every day, but if not every day, 3 or 4 times a week, just integrate this into your prayer life and then do this. Notice, okay, is my life changing as I do this? Is something different about me as I do this? If I spend 10 minutes, 15 minutes praying this way, confessing what the word says, is my day different? Do I respond differently? Do I feel his peace? Do I hear his voice? Do I feel his joy? You know, is the flesh losing its grip and its power over me? If the answer is yes, then here, do this. Bump it up to like 30 minutes. Bump it up to longer, 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 until you are completely renewed. But make this a habit. Make it, I can't stress that enough. You cannot be transformed by just hearing a message on Sunday. You cannot. See, you're going to go home, you're going to eat, you're going to take a nap, and you're going to wake up and you will forget most of what I said. Hopefully not, but that's just rarely what happens. If you don't get this into your own heart, into your own prayer life, into your own habits, then all this is a message that made you feel good for 15, 30 minutes. You know, no, actually, I don't preach that short. An hour. That's all it is. And maybe the afterglow of it for 2 hours. And then it's done. And you come back next Sunday and you're like, okay, give me another dose. When you should have been the one who was living in it week after week or day after day. Let me just say this in closing. I want to challenge you with this. If you are not living in revival, it's not God's fault. If you are not living in revival, it's not God's fault. It's yours. Stop waiting for the next move of God to revive you. Most of the church, not most, a lot of the church is waiting for the next move of God. When that move of God comes, if we would just live from what God has already done, the church would not need revival. Now, I do believe there's a coming move of the Holy Spirit in Joel chapter 2 that is going to be at the end of the age. It's going to be unlike anything we've ever seen, greater than the book of Acts. It's going to be biblical miracles, biblical power, along with judgments of the Lord. I believe that, but we don't have to wait for that end time move of the Spirit to live in revival. If we will just live from what God has already done and the Spirit who already dwells within us, If we will put into practice these things and live from them, make them our habit, the need to have a revival and go to revival meetings will go down significantly. Because in our inward prayer life, we will live in revival every day as we do this. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just really thank you. Renew our minds, Lord. Lord, that religious thinking that says it can't possibly be this good. Lord, would you get that religious mindset out of our minds that says it cannot possibly be this good? It can't possibly, my spirit can't possibly be right. If I'm born again, if I've truly been born of the Spirit, if Christ truly dwells within me, it can't possibly be this good. Get that religious mindset out of our minds. Now again, if you're living in sin in any way, that scripture calls sin, you need to repent. And you need to confess your sins. Even if you're born again, if you're living like Paul said, that we're living in sensuality, if you're living in what scripture says is sin, you need to repent. But if you've been born of the Spirit of God, Lord, let the religious thinking that has so affected our minds be removed, that we might live in the riches of the glory of what you have already accomplished. It is finished in your spirit. It is finished in your spirit. Lord, may we believe it. May revelation be unlocked. We pray. I ask for that, Lord. I'm asking you, Lord, remove the religious mindset. So we have been raised in religion. We must do more. We must wait to heaven to experience some of what you've already allowed us to experience now. Waiting for the next move of God, waiting for the next prophetic word, waiting for the next miracle, waiting for the next YouTube message to be sent a notification for, of course, unless it's ours. Just kidding. But Lord, we just pray that, Lord, we would just truly realize that we can experience this every single day in our prayer life. Lord, would you remove the doubt and the unbelief and the ignorance? Lord, would you remove the doubt, the unbelief, and the ignorance? God, that we might believe, like Mary said to Gabriel, be it done unto me according to your word. Lord, may we get to that simple place of faith. May it be done to me. I come into agreement, Lord, with what your word says about me. My spirit is righteous, regenerated, born again, alive from the dead, a partaker of the divine nature, righteous and holy, complete, Christ-like. Lord, I pray that we would feel as if we've been born again by coming into agreement with the truth of your word, we pray. And we ask these things in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 All right.